So good to see you and be with you today. As you see on the overhead, now is the time for the dreams that God has placed in your spirit to come about. Now is the time for major transformation to come about in your soul. Now is the time that you hunker down and be discipled, not just saved. Now, saved's good. If we're not saved, we don't know the Savior. And if we're not saved, we don't even have access to life. But when we become saved, we must go on to transformation.
Yes, ma'am.
Because once you receive Jesus as your Savior, if you tend to look at things negatively, you'll still look at them negatively. And that has to be transformed out of your soul by the renewing of your mind, by your will choosing to look at things positively. And your emotions may say, no, 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 I don't see anything good in that. You say, emotions, I submit you to the Holy Spirit for healing because you've had some bad times. And I submit you to the Holy Spirit for healing so that you can hear Father's feelings not come out of your wounds. Isn't that exciting?
Yes, ma'am.
That He wants us to be transformed and to be discipled and to disciple nations. But we can't do for someone else what is not done in our own life. We have been talking this whole year about the Jewish year 5777. Seven represents completion. God wants to complete us. And the song that Jason sang, lay it all down until there's nothing left of me.
Yes.
Did you mean it?
Yes.
Or does that just sound good? I believe everyone here really means it. We're not here to be recognized. We're not here to gain social status. We're not here for any reason except to learn to lay it all down until there's nothing left of me. But do you know, we think we've laid down more than we have. On the way here today, God is always stretching our capacity to have more of Him. And on the way here, I realized that I had not put the PowerPoint on my thumb drive. And I was already at I-75, which means that I was 15, 20 minutes from my house. What do I do, Lord? Text Craig to see if he could do something. Didn't get an answer as quick as I wanted, so I turned around and went back home. Said, I'll at least be here for worship. Miss Intercession, be here for worship. On my way back home, maybe going a little faster than I should, I looked down and the light came on saying, I'm almost out of gas. I thought, Lord, you are giving me the opportunity to be stretched more than I wanted to be stretched, to lay more of myself down than I wanted to lay down, to see if you are adequate.
Oh, okay.
Will I lose my peace? That's the test. Will I lose my peace? And it's exciting to know that I didn't lose my peace. Now, I am excited to know that in order for the dreams He's given us, the transformation He wants, and to make us His disciples, you have to be kingdom focused. You must be kingdom focused. There's no other way to do it. I love this drawing by Jennifer Page. You see the big tsunami that's coming, and you see in the middle a cross. The only way we can ride in the tsunami that is coming is to stay at the foot of the cross, laying ourselves down until there's nothing left of us, and letting Him expand us into Him. I want to read to you a prophecy from David Lubo from West Virginia. When I read it, it ministered to my spirit. He said, a tsunami of my spirit is about to hit the east coast of the United States of America and sweep across this great land, from the east to the south, moving across into the west, then north into Canada and down into Mexico. The entire western hemisphere will be affected by this revival and awakening, says the Lord God Almighty. Oh, America, my beautiful, prepare for the impact, for a tsunami of my spirit is about to come upon you. Nothing can stop what I'm about to do in the nation. Nothing devised by man nor any demon in hell can stand against this move of God. Only a warning sound can be given. Shockwaves will be felt throughout this country and around the world. Wave upon wave will come. It will be relentless. It will come from person to person, from church to church, from region to region, and from state to state. For I'm breaking upon the fountains of the great deep that lie within my people. It's the power of God that they never knew was there. But I have had reserved for them all along. They will know who they are, whose they are, and what is at their disposal. They are coming forth with my power and my anointing to take back what has been stolen from them. They will take new ground in my name, fully weaponized by my spirit, says the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I want to be part of that, don't you?
Yeah.
I want to be part of that. And I tell you, my friends, the only way we can be part of that is to flow with His Spirit. When we flow with His Spirit, we will ride upon the waves of what He's doing. But if we refuse to be emptied of ourselves, if we refuse to be emptied of ourselves, we will be sucked into the undertow of our carnal flesh. And we must submit to His Spirit and know that His Spirit is what directs this flow. I love the scripture in 1 Chronicles 14:15. There God said to David, and it shall be when thou hast hear a sound going in the tops of the mulberry trees, that then thou shalt go out to battle, for God is gone forth before thee to smite the host of the Philistines. Now it's important to know that God leads us by principles, kind of forms them as boundaries, but it's His Spirit that tells us when to move and when not to move, what to say and what not to say. We have to submit to His Spirit and be Spirit-led. So as we are moving with Him, Craig's already talked about the presence of the revival and the unity that we're seeing flowing in Dalton. I want to be a part of that. Do you know that in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve sinned, before they sinned, they were totally filled up with God consciousness. They knew who they were. They had no trouble doing what God called them to do. It was fun just being who they were, fulfilling the assignment God had on their life. But when they said, I'd like to call the shots myself. I think I've got a good idea I'd like to try. When they ate of the fruit and they disobeyed God, they were emptied of God consciousness and filled with self-consciousness, self-realization. I want it my way, and I think I've got a better idea than God.
Yeah, I heard that.
So now, Jesus is our model. Why did He come? He said, he who sins is of the devil. Now, sins is the things we do, the acts of disobedience, quenching the Spirit, grieving the Spirit, resisting the Spirit. Those are things we do. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Every one of us have bit at that apple. We've decided we want to block our pain. We want to get to be in control. We want the pleasures that we want, and we want it now. That's called lust. And Jesus said, I understand. I've felt everything you've felt. I've faced every demon that tempted you and you yielded to. And I've overcome, but you must submit to me, and you must do it my way. The way we respond to God determines the capacity that we're going to develop. All of us, none exempt, have been wounded. All of us have been hurt. All of us have had needs that were not met by the people that should have met them. But we tend, consciously or unconsciously, to reflect upon our Heavenly Father the weaknesses of our earthly fathers or the people around us and say, God's like that. And He's not. A.W. Tozer says, what you think about God is the most important thing about you. Your thoughts about God are the most important things about you. Your understanding of the width and breadth and of His love and His power is the most important thing about you. Now, what are we to think about God? What we're to think about God is His character. He loves us. There's nothing you can do to make Him love you more. Period. Over and out. There's nothing you can do to get Him to accept you more. Period. Over and out. But He loves you so much, He's not going to leave you the way you are.
Hallelujah.
If you'll let Him.
Hallelujah.
And He always does it justly, righteously. He is in control, and He's the only life there is. The other life is a spiral to the pit of hell.
Yes, ma'am.
Now, it's important, and it helps me to remember that this is the bride of Christ, looking up at the Lamb, our King, our Conqueror, and to know that there was in His book, your name is written all the days of your life, according to Psalms 139:16. In His book, every day's written. And so He says, walk with me, talk with me, conversate with me, just be my companion. That's what we're looking for.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, ever since I can remember, that's what I was looking for. I didn't know what to call it. I didn't know how to describe it. I was raised a Christian. I went to church regularly. I did everything everybody told me to do. But I knew I was missing something. I saw it in one preacher when I was probably in the seventh grade. And I went up to him. I don't know what I said, but I know I was saying, you've got something I'm looking for. Don't know what words I used, and he didn't know how to answer me. All he said was, you're going to be a missionary, and why don't you have prayer meeting for the next few months? I did it. But I couldn't find what I was looking for. I was looking for an intimate love walk with God. And the enemy lost that when he rebelled, the devil. And he does everything he can to keep us from enjoying it.
Amen. Yes.
And we must remember that it's in that intimate love walk, waking up in the morning. Jesus, what's written in my book about me today? Holy Spirit, thank you that you're going to guide me to fulfill the page that you've written for me today.
Yes, ma'am.
And walk with Him and talk with Him. Yes. The way He's your best friend.
Yes.
He's the only one that totally understands. And as we do that, knowing that His loving protection is what's always at work with you. All of us have had bad things happen to us. But he says, I'm here to heal it. If you will walk with me, yield to me, submit to me, let me empty you of everything in you that doesn't look like me. And as you yield to me, submit to me, and do what you know is right, whether you feel like it or not, you jump off that cliff into his arms, and he stretches you, and he stretches you, and he stretches you, so that you have more capacity to follow him.
Yes, ma'am.
I particularly identify with Peter. He's impulsive. Many times speaks before he thinks. And I can very well identify with him. I know that when I found at age 30, Galatians 2:20, it's not me that lives, but Jesus lives in me. He wants to live in me, through me, as a way of life. I was my typical Peter kind of personality and said, God, you know, this is kind of makes me mad. I was in church all my life. I went to a Christian college and nobody told me this. How dare them? And you know what Jesus said? He said, I got to you as quick as I could. I realize I'm pretty hard-headed. And I said, okay, you got to me now. Now just make me like you now. I'm tired of waiting. He said, you wouldn't know who you were if I did. So it's step by step, step by step, we go to him. Because you might say, but if I just understood what he was going to do, I could trust him. You wouldn't. Let me read you something that caught my attention that Allison Brown wrote. What if when Jesus called Peter, what if he went up to him and said, hey, Pete, good to meet you. How about you leave a dependable income, train for 3 years, and when I need you most, you're going to deny you even know me. And I'll hear you say that. I'm going to be killed in a horrible, bloody way, but then come alive again, then leave. You'll end up in a vent with lots of wind and fire when the Holy Spirit, who you don't even know exists yet, comes and joins you. You'll get beat up and bloodied on a pretty regular basis, write some great letters, and in the end, they will kill you too in the same awful way I died, except upside down. Ready to go, Pete? How about that for an invitation to come follow Jesus? Jesus was so loving and so protective of Peter that he told him only what he could handle. So if you want to know more about your life right now than you know, realize he's protecting you. And he is stretching you with each difficulty so that when it happens, you can have peace because you know your God and that he has already faced it, already is an overcomer. And as you will remember, he's in control and not you and not trying to be in control and rest in his arms, peace will come forth.
Hallelujah.
I can attest to that.
Yes,
I can attest to that. He lovingly protects us. There's so much I'm glad I didn't know until I was allowed to walk through it. But in walking through it, I had peace. I had victory. Because our God is a loving God. And he says, I want to give you peace in the middle of the things that happen. Whatever you're facing today, whether it's a person that you would like, that you can't feel the love of God for, if it's a situation you wish you could just wipe off and replace it with another, God has you in that place to empty you of self, to bring you to a helplessness that is hopeful because you know he never asks you to do anything or requires, except he says, I'll do it through you if you'll just let me. If you'll put yourself in that place and let me, I'll do it through you. Now, hopefully this will help you. There's only two hearts that we live through. We live with the black heart that is a carnal heart that Jesus says sins from the beginning that we got from Adam and Eve. It's just sin. And note the difference between S-I-N and S-I-N-S. One is a reason. When I'm trusting in this heart, that's sin. That heart, apart from God, can do nothing but sin. It can do some good things. You know, the rich young ruler came to Jesus and said, what must I do to be saved? And Jesus said, keep this commandment, this commandment, this commandment. He said, I've done all that. But God saw, even though he was a good moral man, he was a best neighbor ever, he saw his living from this heart. What was it he was trusting in? His riches. So he said, give all your riches to the poor. He couldn't do that. He didn't want to switch hearts. So even though it was good stuff he was doing, it was coming from the wrong disposition. And that's when we sin, it's because we're trusting, we're living from the wrong heart. And it doesn't matter whether it looks good or whether it looks horrible. Both of them are the same. You say, well, might as well do horrible. No, because there are sins. Every sin has its consequences.
Yes, ma'am.
And many hurt yourself more deeply and hurt others very deeply. So you don't want to just say, let sin abound and grace abound. No, there are consequences. But don't think when you do something good, it has to be from the heart Jesus gave you. It's not necessarily, unless you are trusting him. If you're trusting him as best you know how, you haven't grieved his spirit, you haven't quenched his spirit, you haven't resisted his spirit, and you're walking with him as best you know how, his life's flowing. And he's desiring to stretch you so that you can be emptied of self, as Jason sang, and filled with him so that your life is laid down. On the right, this I designed to represent walking in his presence as best you know how as a way of life. And 1 John 1:7 says, when you're doing that, you're perfect. You said, but I know I'm not. No. But you're as perfect as you can be now where you are. He is not frightened by immaturity. He's not frightened by the steps you've got to take. He says, I've already got it covered. Just walk with me. Just walk with me. And as you walk in the light that you have, doing what you know is right, then you're perfect. And I'll continue to help you to make another step, and I'll stretch you. And so that's good news. I like this picture of a man opening up his chest and showing where the kingdom of God is. Because where is the kingdom of God? According to Luke 17:21, it's within you. And as you walk with him, he gets more space, more space, more space in you. You think his thoughts more. You choose his will regularly. He heals your emotions. And he flows more completely. When Jesus is in control, the kingdom of God is being developed in you. He gets more of you, and less of you is emptied. And he fills that capacity, then it flows out to the world.
Yeah.
What blocks the kingdom of God? Itself. I want my way. I've got a better idea. Why should I stop in 30 minutes just because Craig has challenged me to do that? because I know that God has given him the authority and the skill to help me hone my skills. You know, I could get an attitude and say, I've been teaching ever since you was 8 years old. Tell me. But I know that God is saying, I'm holding him responsible. He's not your son. He's my son, and I've given him a job. And his job is to help you grow up. That's pretty cool, isn't it?
I like that.
So what is your self? What is your self-motivation? I want to read you an allegory that maybe will help illustrate what I'm talking about here. You remember the teacup and see if it describes any of your struggles. A young couple were in a unique gift shop looking for the perfect gift to celebrate their anniversary. Their eyes caught a beautiful, perfectly beautiful teacup. As they talked about its fantastic beauty, they reached for the cup. Just then the cup spoke and said, now, in this PowerPoint I've got, a teacup that I thought was pretty, but I want you, as I tell this allegory, to apply it to yourself. You are his treasure, just like that teacup was the couple's treasure. Will you respond the way this teacup did or not? Just when they said, this is so beautiful, they reached for the cup. And then the cup spoke and said, you don't understand, I've not always been a teacup. There was times when I was a lump of red clay. My master took me and molded me. He patted me over and over. I didn't like it. I didn't like to be told what to do. And I said, let me alone. Master said, not yet. He placed me on a spinning wheel. I spun around and around and around. I said, stop it. I'm getting dizzy. Have you ever gotten dizzy and confused? The master nodded. Not yet. Then he put me in an oven. I've never felt such heat. I wondered why he wanted to burn me. I yelled and knocked at the door. I could see him through the opening, and I read his lips as he shook his head and said, not yet. Finally, the door did open. He put me on the shelf, and I began to cool. That's better, I said. Suddenly, he brushed me with paint all over. The fumes were awful. I began to gag. Stop it, stop it. And what did he say?
Not yet.
Not yet. Then he put me back into an oven, which was twice as hot as the first one. And I knew I was going to suffocate. I begged and pleaded and screamed and cried. I could see through the opening that he was nodding and saying, not yet. It was then that I knew there was no hope and I'd never make it. I was ready to give up when suddenly the door opened. He took me out and placed me on a shelf. About an hour later, he handed me a mirror and said, look at yourself. I did, and I said, that's not me. That couldn't be me. Why, that's beautiful. I want you to always remember, he said, that I knew it hurt to be rolled and patted, but if I had left you as you were, you would have dried up. I knew it made you dizzy to spin around and around on the wheel, but if I had stopped, you would have crumbled. I knew it hurt and was hot and disagreeable in the oven, but if I hadn't put you there, you'd have cracked. I knew the fumes were bad when I painted you, but you see, If I had not done that, you would have never hardened, and there would not have been any color in your life. If I had not put you back in the second oven, you had not survived very long, and the hardness would not have held. Now you are a finished product. You are exactly what I had in mind when I first began with you. Our God knows what He's doing. Our God knows what He's doing. Submit to the nasty people in your life. Submit to the, and I'm not saying embrace abuse, but don't respond until you can love them the way Jesus does. Until you can see His image in them and you can feel His peace for them. And as you do, we will know that there is good news that God has for each one of us. And that news is that we're in the hands of a loving God, a God that's protecting us, and whatever He's requiring of you, He has provided on the cross. So you pull back from any frustration, any anger, any fear, and say, God, show me your truth. And I choose to push through because I am an overcomer in you. And you say that anything that happens to me, Romans 8:28 is not a cliche, it's scripture. Those that want to be in God's plan, He says, I'll work all that mess out for good as you keep your focus on me. And you'll say, oh, God, that made me more beautiful than I could have ever dreamed I could have been. Isn't that good news?
Yes, ma'am.
That is good news that He has for us. And so the challenge is stay focused. Stay focused. Stay focused. It's hard to stay focused on Him. Because many times we don't feel Him, we haven't seen Him. And but 2 Corinthians 3:18 says that whatever we behold, we become. So you walk beholding, I serve a good God.
Yes.
That has given me everything I need all the time.
Yes.
And I can trust Him because of His loving protection for me. And it's and 2 Corinthians 4:18 says it's really hard to look at the unseen and let that guide you rather than the seen. But that's our part in partnering with Him. And I want to read you after I read this description of Peter. Peter, again, as I say, I identify with, but I want to read something that he wrote in 4:11. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. He says, if we lift Him up, He draws all men to Himself.
Yes.
So it's not about me and you. It's about lifting Him up. That yes. What He has done for each one of us and what He wants to do in each one of
yes.
us. And when we do that, we embrace whatever difficult situation, knowing that as we let Him be God and walk in us and through us, we will say, God, that was such a good idea. I would have never thought of it. But only You can do the impossible. I can't take any credit for it. Anything that has allowed me to succeed in any way, when I said, God, how come? He said, because You didn't have anything to offer me. So it's important that we use our gifts. It's important that we do all those things, but He has to be the issue. He has to be the issue. We have to behold Him, walk with Him, talk with Him. So let's thank Him. Father God, I thank You that You're our God. I thank you that you called us to be more than conquerors. Yes. Why? Because you've already conquered. You've already conquered. We're more than conquerors when we run into your arms and say, help, I can't. You never said I could. You can, and you always said you would. Behave yourself in me today, God. Think your thoughts. Be yourself in me. I want to fulfill every line you've written in your book for me. Do it, God. Do it, God. Don't know what you've written, but you see the end from the beginning, and you know what you're doing. So I submit to your turning me, you're patting me when I don't want to be patted, putting me on a wheel and making me dizzy, or putting me in a hot oven when I don't want to be there. I thank you that you're emptying me of self and giving you the opportunity to fill me with you. And when I'm filled with you, I won't have to even read any self-help books, because I'll know who I am in you, because I'm made in your image, and you'll help me to enjoy living in my own skin. And I thank you for how you're doing that, Lord. And I bless everyone within the sound of my voice to go and walk with him as a way of life. Amen.